You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Naafa Prison is a former maximum security prison that now houses many prisoners who are on remand awaiting trial. They recently had a surprise inspection from the Office of the Ombudsman, which found a number of faults with how the prison is being run, including issues with prisoner privacy and lack of rehabilitative programs. I spoke with Chief Ombudsman Peter Beauchere about the report, first asking him what the main findings were.
Well, at the high level, the great shame about this unannounced visit was that this prison was always going to be the showcase for the relationship between Māori and corrections. It was going to be the way in which we would address the high rate of Māori imprisonment. So Naafa is really in the seat of Māoridom in the far north, and yet the missed opportunities were obvious for all to see. So there were physical things we found, but I think at the high level, the great shame of it was that this golden opportunity of forging a meaningful relationship for change had been missed, and this was operating. It's meant to operate as a low security prison. In fact, it operates at a high security prison regime. So really, just looking after people, that's all, and not at times doing that up to the standard instead of that crucial further point of rehabilitating.
And what were the physical conditions of the prisons like? What was it like for prisoners there?
This is an unannounced visit, which means that the housekeeper doesn't get the chance to do the washing before the visit comes. We just arrive, and that's part of our right under the Crimes of Torture Act, which sets up our jurisdiction. So our inspectors arrive, and they have a routine that they go through. The striking thing that we found, there were three things. One was that the staff chose to lock the prisoners out of their cells for quite long periods of time, which meant that they could use the exercise yard. So far, so good, but then they couldn't get access to toilets. The toilets are in their cells. So the first thing was that there was a stench in the yard as a result of that being used as the makeshift toilet. The second is that this is a warm part of the country, Naafa, and there wasn't adequate access to water, which is a direct breach of an article of the convention. The third thing is that temperatures rise to a pretty heady level, and particularly in the kitchen, the temperatures were reaching an unacceptable level with inadequate ventilation. So the answer to your question is, in a relatively new prison, we were pretty disappointed in the conditions we found. Well, the other thing just to mention is that double bunking permeates throughout this prison. This is a prison built for 350 that operates with a we used to call them a muster, or call them now a group, of about 650. Wow. So double bunking is pretty rife. Now that sounds okay, but you know, you've got a cellmate, but you've got to do everything with the cellmate in the room. Eat, do your toileting. I mean, you know, it reduces people, doesn't it, to a level of dignity which is unacceptable.
Is this a problem with how that individual prison is being run, or because you spoke about double bunking, and that's kind of a government mandated thing that we need to have double bunking because of how many prisoners we have. So is it a need for more government oversight, or just that things need to change at that prison?
You're right that double bunking is the result of a number of prisoners being sentenced without the facilities being ready to take them. That's happened as a result of the passing of legislation and sentencing guidelines. So that's been a consequence. I think as far as, this is a really important question you've asked, how is it that you achieve cultural change? I don't think you can look and expect the government to do all of that. I think that a government certainly has a responsibility at a crimes of torture level to make sure that minimum standards are right. But it seems to me that leadership starts at the top, and it seems to me that each prison will want to have a management which is enlightened and which really buys into the ethos of head office, which is to be more tikanga based and more culturally conscious in looking for outcomes rather than just babysitting hard prisoners.
And you have spoken about this prison in particular, Nafa, sort of when it opened, heralding itself as a prison that will work on having tikanga values, treating prisoners in a different way. Why, and this, I suppose, in your review, found this just isn't being done. What are the implications of this?
Well, I think that New Zealand, as it matures, understands that the Treaty of Waitangi is more than a document in which non-Maori should have regard to. It actually means that we recognise each other, our values, our culture, our dignity, where we each have come from. And in terms of Maori, we're in this prison, the population, prison-wise, is 47% Maori. You'd want, wouldn't you, to be operating in a way which enables prisoners to rediscover important parts of their tikanga, their culture. One wants them to leave with something they can hang on to, and it may be that they came in with nothing to hang on to or cling to. So it seems to me the answer to your question is that our leadership's got to change attitudinally, it seems to me, to bring about the best culture for rehabilitation and recognition of dignity.
What happens now? So you've done this review, you found that things were not adequate. What's next?
There's always some shining of the light that occurs when we do a visit and a report. And the reason for that is that the Act, Crimes of Torture Act, requires us to table our reports in Parliament. We do that. That always attracts a fair amount of attention, and in this case, a fair amount of media attention. And that's a very good thing, can I say. And the reason is that most New Zealanders know that we've got prisons, and they know something about some of them. Everyone's heard of Pereremoremo and so on. But this does shine a light for New Zealanders who want to have a look at what happens inside a prison to see a little bit without having to actually go there. We do photographs and we do descriptors, so it's good from that point of view. Now, coming to your question, we often do follow-up visits. We ask, first of all, whether the corrections will accept our recommendations, and in this case they accepted all but three. And
what did they not accept?
So, the answer to your question, the three recommendations not accepted were privacy of prisoners in what's called ISU, which is it's a close security unit. Our concern has been that when prisoners are naked or partially naked, they shouldn't be able to be filmed and should have a degree of privacy. Corrections still finds that difficult to accommodate. Then a slightly lesser one, perhaps of moment, is that again, prisoners in what we call ISU, when they attend their review, should be provided with copies of their management plans. And it may not seem huge, but look,
it seems a reasonable request, though.
It does, and I'm not sure what the difficulty over that really was. Those two recommendations were partially accepted and partially rejected. The one that surprisingly they rejected, prisoners have unrestricted access to toilets at all times, they rejected. They must feel that it's too difficult to manage, or in a prison regime it needs to be more staged in terms of when there is toilet time and when there isn't. So those were the recommendations that weren't accepted in totality.
And if they don't accept them, is there anything you can do, or is that just, well, We've done our part, there's nothing we can then do to make them accept this?
Well, we keep on and on about it. And look, often when we make a recommendation, I'll give you an example. About 2 years ago, we released a seminal report called A Question of Restraint. And it was to do with prisoners in some prisons, such as Auckland, who were being restrained in tie-down beds for lengthy periods of time. And the response of corrections at the time was, but they will harm themselves. It's in their own interests that we are able to take care of them and allow them not to harm themselves in often pretty awful ways. So it was suggested that as ideal as it was, corrections had no choice but to do this very restrictive, quite inhumane way of restraining. And we kept on and on about it and said, look, There are other times when you can manage high-risk prisoners with regimes and proper staffing. You should be able to do it. And lo and behold, it was announced to me some months ago that they have abolished the use of tie-down beds, and they are now able to manage such prisoners differently. So I'm ever the optimist, and I think at times when we don't achieve rapid progress, we know that some things can be done quickly and others take more time.
This thing about the bathroom and not really having access to it when they're out in the yard, is this something that, because they are treating the prisoners like they're in a high security environment, is this why they do it? Would you not see this kind of thing happening in a lower security prison?
I think you interpret the position correctly. What we were told was that there is a danger of prisoners going into other prisoners' cells and violence occurring. And by the way, that the rate of violence in prisons is unacceptably high, and in relation to this prison, violence remains an issue. For instance, 46% of prisoners said that they felt unsafe at some point while in prison. 29% of prisoners said they'd been assaulted while in the facility. 9% said they'd been sexually assaulted while in the prison. So violence is an issue, and we all know that. We see that from everything from television to what have you. So in order to minimise the opportunity for prisoners roughing each other up, they locked them out of their cells and had them in the exercise yard, where I imagine they were more visible. That's the reason why they weren't in their cells and locked out. It was to control prisoners going into each other's cells and the possibility of violence occurring. That's why they ended up in the situation that we found them.
It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.